Good morning, everyone. I'm looking out in this empty church, and it just brings back the fact that things have changed so desperately since the last time I preached here. I don't get to see your faces. I don't get to hug you at the end of the service. And it's really heartbreaking. We're in a time of great upheaval and great sadness in our nation. In addition to the health and financial crisis we're in, we're grappling with the devastating effects of racism again, or maybe still. My soul is troubled. And when that happens, I find it very helpful to look back at other times when we as a people not only survived, but we thrived despite what seemed to be overwhelming odds. Now, one of these difficult periods was the early church, the very early church. Like the end of the 40s or the beginning of the 50s, when Paul wrote this epistle to the faithful in Philippi. The beauty of the words belie the fact that Paul wrote it most likely sitting in a dungeon. Again and again, Paul's faith was tested by hardship. Because it was a time, as you doubtless know, that believing in Christ was a dangerous thing. The empire held all the cards. And even within the community of the faithful, there were very troubling factions. Paul was simultaneously trying to bring the knowledge of salvation to as many people as was humanly possible. And at the same time, he was playing whack-a-mole with those who were vying for power or living lives with questionable behaviors. He also had to contend with some even well-meaning people who would go off on theological tangents. Now, Paul is trying to address a number of issues in this epistle. In the loveliest possible way, he illustrates God's solidarity with humanity, as well as describing the relationship of God, God the Father, and Jesus. And generally, I allow real theologians, him for instance, and N.T. Wright, to grapple with such weighty issues. I love the way Wright sums up Paul's thinking. This is what he says. All things are made by the one. All things are made through the other. Simple explanation. In Jesus, God modeled a way of living that addressed the deepest needs of humanity. Also, in this passage, Paul describes how countercultural and complex ideas must be shared with compassion because love is difficult to understand for so many people. It doesn't seem possible, but it's true, and Paul knew that. Now, Paul, who could be snippy at times, which is why I believe he's going to such great pains to lovingly communicate these important truths to those so badly in need of something to hang on to. So we have to make efforts too. Even if we think we're right, we have to do it lovingly. Another thing we have to remember is we have to be realistic about those early years of the church. Now, when I was growing up, It was very romanticized. I don't know if you had the same experience. It was so romanticized, as this were somehow the golden age of the church. And people would argue that we can't really behave as Jesus did. We can't hold that kind of sense of community now as they did in the early years of the church. And the argument usually goes like this. Well, in a perfect world, we could do all of those things. Franciscan Father Richard Rohr has always said, Jesus didn't come into a perfect world. It was a world of great oppression and anxiety. And the early church wasn't so great either. It sounds wonderful in Acts, but it really wasn't. It was fruitful, perhaps, but it was no picnic. We have to be realistic about that. Our own present day seems to be one of emotional and spiritual wasteland. Using the memories of Paul's struggle and the model of his faith, I believe we can make this difficult time fruitful as well. But you may argue, and rightfully so, how do we go forward with great political unrest, financial restraints, the shattering of norms, and all the limitations posed by the pandemic? I would ask you to use your imagination for just a moment. Go back to the time when Paul was sitting in that cell. Pretend for just a moment that the last 1800 years never happened. Let's go back to Jesus' inclusiveness, to addressing the basic needs of our people, to a commitment not to form bodies of faith that excluded other people, to a time when communities were brought together by the belief in the gospel. Imagine if we abandon all our tribal thinking based on race, geographic location, or blind adherence to the religion of our forebears. What if we reached out in love based on the teachings of Jesus? And in accordance with Jesus' openness and radical love, throw our lot in with other people, not necessarily Christians, other people of goodwill to become more human beings. What would happen if we do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but humbly regarding others as truly better than ourselves? In short, just look out for the interests of others, just as Christ Jesus did. What if we work collaboratively in mission, not regressing into hierarchical patterns that ended up with the toxic patriarchy, racism, and greed? What would happen? I'm sure Paul could not have imagined in his wildest dreams that his teaching of love and humility could have gone so terribly wrong, but it did. What if we hit the reset button? How can we tie together faith and citizenship in the world? What would it look like? I think it would look like the vision of 19th century priest and social reformer F.D. Morris, as described in his 1838 work, The Kingdom of Christ. Morris said, "Christ came to establish a kingdom, not to proclaim a set of opinions. Every man entering this kingdom becomes interested in all its relations, members, circumstances. He cannot separate himself in any way from them. In this highest sense, the believer must be a politician if he is a citizen of the world. He is also a citizen of his own country, and everything which affects its weal and woe, everything which concerns the bodily or the external, as well as the spiritual condition of its inhabitants, must be important to him. My friends, it all matters. It all matters, but over the last 2,000 years, we have allowed other things to get in the way of the power of the incarnation and our relationships with each other. Now, I don't believe God set this pandemic on us, but we can make meaning out of it by taking heart in the fact that we are operating as a true church in spite of anything. We're operating as a true church, even with the empty pews. Today, we are needed by our fellow man more than ever. We are needed to provide resources and to also be the conscience of the greater society that it must operate fairly. This is a lot to ask, but it wasn't ever easy anyway. The challenges facing us may be very difficult, but this is the thing. If we truly live the faith that we have proclaimed since the earliest days of the church, we're going to be okay. Amen.
Amen.